end of the service. I want to do a one-time message today that I'm calling The Power of the Serve. And the serve I'm talking about is our service to God. Amen. And so it's so important that we understand the principle and we don't lose sight of the significance that each of us could play and do play in this local church, but not just in the local church, in the kingdom of God of itself. But and so notice here today that the power of the serve. You know, and as you look at that slide there, there's several takeaways. And for all you that are sports enthusiasts, there's a number of sports, including tennis and volleyball, that the serve is a very important part of the game, including the scoring of it. Amen. And so, as a matter of fact, many games are won and lost because of the power of the serve and the serve's importance. Notice it says, your serve can change the game. Now, I'm going to take a little side note for a moment. I think a lot of times that it does us good to lighten up so that we can just look at your neighbor, poke them or something, and say, wake up, pastor's going to tell a story. Praise God. How many know that Jesus is a master at telling stories? All of them have had a purpose. They taught us principles in the kingdom of God. And once again, the power of the serve is something that's very important. And, you know, what I'm really talking about is that your serve or your service to God can change the game. You know, I have been blessed, Pastor Debbie and I have been blessed by having a wonderful family and on both sides of our marriage. But in particular, I want to bring out two of my nieces that they grew up and they were in sports. And one of the sports that they played was volleyball. And both of them did, and both of them, when they played, they had really good teams, and they went to state and that type of stuff and participated. One of the things that I so enjoyed with them growing up, I always had the opportunity of playing that sport with them, not in school, but at home. You know, we had family events, and I was the uncle that always would do the challenging things. You know, when they were small and stuff, everybody wants to play hide and go seek. Well, I was the only old one that would play with them, pretty much, you know. And then I would still do relay races or race with them and see who can, you know, win the race and all this kind of stuff. Had to prove that I was still faster than they were. Now, I did that a couple of years ago to one of the nieces I'm talking about, their children, and she's grown. She's in high school, and I did beat her, but I can't beat them all, I'm sure. But anyway, that's not the point. I'm not trying to, but the point that I'm making is, in case you didn't know, I'm a little competitive. So they would love to play in the summertime. We play volleyball, okay? And we would pick teams, and of course, we don't want the team to be stacked, so I was always on the opposite side of them, okay? And they both have, I'll cut through the chase a little bit. They both had great serves playing volleyball. Both of them did. Now, Trista, who's not here today, I like to talk about those that aren't here. Candace is here. But both of them had great serves. But Trista, she was a wild card. She had a hard serve, but many times it was a little wild, you know. And the challenge would be sometimes when a hard serve's come to you, you need to realize that sometimes they've served too far and it goes out. So one of the advantages was she was a wild card and she would hit it a lot of times. You just try to get her the way of it and it would be too long, it would go out. But she really was a good server. And the point is, you want people on your team that are good servers. You know why? Because a lot of times they do what's called aces. You've seen that in tennis and all that. In other words, they hit it so good, it's in bounds for them. They score without you even trying to respond. I want you to know today, whether you know it or not, we got a bunch of people in this church that serve ACES every week. And I think we should put our hands together for them. Amen. Praise God. But the point is, the serve can actually change the game. And so today, I want to talk about the power of the serve and how each and every one of us were designed to not only serve the kingdom of God and the world that we live in, but also in the local church, and how and why that's so important. So let's do a quick journey. I'm not going to preach really long. Look at your neighbor and say, yeah, right. Praise the Lord. I'm really not today, but I want us to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And as we look at this today, I'm going to read, I think, all the scripture verses today from the Passion Translation. So you're going to just have to follow along with me up on the screen today. Everybody say, the power of the serve. Look at your neighbor and say, your serve can change the game. Praise God. I mean, good serve will score for the team. And week in and week out, the reason that there's a success in this church is because your serve is changing the game. Praise God. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, praise God, it says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, for the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to agree to live in unity with one another and to put to rest any division that attempts to tear you apart. Be restored as one united body, living in perfect harmony. Form a consistent choreography. Thank you. I forgot to write that down with my spell check. Amen. Amen. Among yourselves, having a common perspective with shared values. I want us to draw, there's much that we could say here, but I want to draw attention to the last phrase here, having a common perspective with shared values. Everybody say, with shared values. Today, I want to remind many of you and others that may not know this, instruct them of some of the shared values we have as a church. We call them 8 vision values. And unfortunately, you know, and this is on me, I don't always, you know, but once a year, I actually maybe bring these out. We talk about these sometimes usually in the new members class. I told them that I would be talking about them today. Amen. So there's 8 vision values. How many have this little handout here besides the new members? This handout here is actually in our foyer, and we use them. We created these to be a bookmark to remind us that we have 8 vision values. In other words, we have shared values. Praise God. And so let's talk about values 1 minute before we show you what those 8 are. Amen? And so values, what are they? They are beliefs that form the behavior that we desire as a church or a congregation. I'm going to say this again. Values are important because values are beliefs that form the behavior that we desire as a church or a congregation. Amen. We call them here at the church vision values. And the reason we put vision in front of it is because in sharing these values and doing them, we each will help move us together to accomplish the overall vision. They unite us because we exist to win and disciple people to Christ. If we share these 8 values, they, even though they're different, they will move us in the same direction as a congregation because these form beliefs that produce behaviors that help us to ultimately accomplish the vision that we exist to win in disciple people to Christ. They cause us to move together. So it's important from time to time to not only be reminded of them, but to teach of them. Today, I won't teach on all 8, but what I will do is I'm going to review all this, and then we're going to drill down on 1 in particular. So number 1, here is the 8 vision values. Number 1, as a church, we will hold high God's word as our standard. How many know God's word is God talking to us? It should be the number 1 thing that leads us and guides us and our life is built upon. Number 2, As a church, we will seek and desire the genuine move of the Holy Spirit. How many know the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, is the active agent of the Spirit? Of God that works in our lives, not only to be our teacher and our God, but also the one who lives on the inside of us. We should desire the work and the move of the Holy Spirit. How many know there's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit? How many know that the Spirit of God is still alive and living today? He wants to show up and show off. And as we magnify Jesus and as we are His witnesses, that the Holy Spirit manifests to bear witness to the words of life that we speak. Years ago, I'll never forget it, I believe it holds true today, Brother Hagin said he always was asked, what is God doing in the earth today? Of course, Brother Hagin went to be home with the Lord in 2003, but I believe his answer is still holding true today because it held fast from really the beginning of the church on the day of Pentecost until Jesus comes to get us in the rapture. Now, when he was asked, what is the Lord doing in the earth today? He says, here's what he's doing. He's building strong local churches that learn how to move with the Word and the Holy Ghost. And how many know he's still doing that? And this is why we need to understand. These are values that we need to embrace and understand. As a church, we will, number three, to make personal and corporate growth a priority. How many know that the day you stop growing, you just stop? Come on. It's God's desire that all of us, individually and corporately, we make personal and corporate growth a priority. We're growing. We're advancing in our knowledge, our understanding, our application of the Word. As a church, we will, number four, understand all people make up the church, therefore people are our greatest asset. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you are valuable. Praise God. This is important that we understand all people make up the church. Therefore, people are our greatest asset. I say it all the time. It'd be pretty boring to preach to empty seats. Amen. But we have to realize how valuable each of us are in the kingdom of God. And unfortunately, the devil has worked overtime to make us to see all our mistakes, all our failures, and how that couldn't be true about us. But my job today is to teach you that you are valuable. You are precious. You are the pearl of great price. You are the treasure hidden in the field. Come on. And God has a great plan for your life. Number five, as a church, we will promote unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. As a church, we will, number six, focus on serving, not just being served. Everybody say, wow. Praise God. Remember last week? Don't lose your wow. Praise the Lord. Amen. Number seven, as a church, we will understand only with good communication can we succeed. Having to know, like in any relationship, we must have good communication. There must be things that are said and talked about. And even in that, correction comes. Not just direction, but correction comes. But how many know correction in of itself is not rejection, but redirection for our protection? Everybody say communication. Praise God. As a church, we will, number eight, we must realize that we each have an important part, but only a part. Micro versus macro. The role is not more important than the goal. In other words, there's an overall goal that we have. Each person's role helps contribute to the overall goal. We put the goal first and realize that all of us make up a role that it substantiates or moves us toward and helps fulfill that goal. And even though we should feel like our role is the most important, it isn't as most important. Every role is important. Amen. And therefore, we submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Now, I shared these briefly. I made more comments on some than I did the others. But today, we're going to focus on number six. And that is, as a church, we will focus on serving and not just being served. Everybody say, the power of the serve. Amen. So here's a truth that you need to remember. You've heard me say this many times. I learned it from John Osteen, Pastor John Osteen, who is in heaven today. Most of you have heard of Joel Osteen, but before Joel Osteen ever was, His daddy, Pastor John Osteen, was a wonderful preacher and man of God that we, growing up in the 80s and the 90s, just loved his ministry before he went home to be with the Lord. And they asked him, they said one day, he says, Pastor John, how do you grow a church? At that time, his church was probably over 3,000, 3,000 to 5,000, something like that. And he says, well, it's simple. If you're a pastor 55 years like I have, you have people, they have babies, and they have babies, and you kind of grow like that. Then he laughed. He says, no, that's really not. That does happen. You do grow the church that way, but he says, that's not really how you grow the church. He says, great churches have great committed people. Great church, and I don't forget that. And so people ask me today, what do you contribute any success to, Pastor? And I say, well, it's two great things. Number one, we have a great God. And number two, we have great committed people. Praise God. So I'm talking about God, and I'm talking about you today. Amen. Praise God. A great God and great committed people. Great churches have great committed people, and it is their service that changes everything. We either win or lose week in and week out on the power of the serve and the commitment of the people. And so what I want to do is today remind us through the scriptures and let them speak to us about the power of the serve. And not just, you know what, we understand that, hopefully you did, and the illustration I gave about certain sports have a serve. And it's through the serve that many of them, great teams, like great tennis players, if they got serves, they get so many aces, it just gets them to advantage. Same thing with any team or any team sport or individual sport that have a serve. If you're great at that, it's to your advantage because you score. Amen. Everybody say score. How many know, you know, let's just be honest. We can have some friendly games, but you know what? If you're competitive, you still want to win. And how many know that if we can want to win something natural, how much more should we be wanting to win for God and making sure that His kingdom advances and the will of God is done that way? Can I get amen? So what I want to do is share some scriptures that speak to us about the power to serve and not, you know, because what we need to understand is not just in the sport games that'll win or loss by the serve, but actually the church as well. You show me churches that are doing something, they got people that are serving. They got people that understand, or they may or may not, but I want us to understand the power of the serve. Amen. So we're going to go through a quick journey today. I'm going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 through 58. And once again, we'll be reading from the Passion Translation. They put this up so it helps us. It says, but thanks be unto God for giving us the victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. We quote that all the time. Thank God that he causes us to triumph. But in causing us to triumph, it doesn't stop there. It goes on and says in verse 58, so now, beloved ones. See, it's because we are triumphant in Christ. So now, beloved ones, stand firm, stable, and enduring. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. Why? Because of Jesus in our lives. And what He's done for us and have faith in Him. We know that we prosper. Look at this. We know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord, because we are assured that a union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures. Notice the highlight on this part here. We know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord. Now, we know we excel because Jesus caused us to triumph, but how many know that the scripture always also is teaching us that this is another way that we continue to excel in every season? Listen, I realize this, church, that there are seasons in all of our lives. You know, I thank God. How many are sitting here today have children 2 years, or say 3 years old and under? Raise your hand. I see there's a number of you that are raising your hands. I'm not, just relax for a minute. I'm not going to call you up and fool you or anything and make you say something. We should put our hands together for them. You're in a season in your life that requires great service and handiwork to those children. And and this is why as student ministries, which includes from infant right on through high school age, is so important. Because we need to make sure that when they come, these families come, we have a great service to their children. As good as they are loving their children at home and should and doing all those things, we should complement and add to and help them in that. Amen. And there's different seasons in our lives that, you know what, that it doesn't maybe allow us to do everything that we may want to in the local church, but there's things that we can be doing. There's things we can pray, we can give, but also there can be things that we do. Even when we get older sometime, there's a different season. But here's the point. We may not do everything we used to do the same way, but listen, church, it says we excel in every season by serving the Lord. Woo! So God is not taking something from you. He's adding something to you. And until we get our minds renewed to that, we are shortchanging ourselves. And I realize this, yes, there's things that you may not be able to do in a certain season that you want to do. But you know what? In every season, we need to understand this, that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord. Whatever season we're in, if we will serve the Lord and be a contributing factor to what God is doing here in this church in particular, amen, because you're connected to that, then you can see that God is going to cause you to prosper and excel. And He doesn't just do that. Listen, He wants you to prosper and excel in every area of your life. He can help you in your home. He can help you with your children. He will help you in your business. He will help you, come on, He will help you in your workplace. All these things He will help you to do. So in Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 12, we're going to look here next. It says, be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. So we're family. We're family here. And so we should treat one another as family. This is why we have the meet and greet in time. And even though we are a little larger church in our community, we want every church, every seat to be filled. Because people are our greatest asset. They need to know that they are loved, they're cared for, and we need to treat them just like our family. And I love to see how you have gone from, many of you have come in like, woo, this is kind of a little bit overwhelming, and I'm just going to stand here. I've seen many that have stood there in their seat for a period of time and let people come to them. Now you're moving all out and shaking hands and greeting other people. Because we understand that we're members of one family. Now, here it goes. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. Woo! Isn't that good? Look at your neighbor and say, I knew you were up to it. Praise the Lord. Come on. Up to what? Outdoing. 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 Praise God. Then in verse 11 it says, be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. See, this is why it's so important what Pastor Jim Freese taught on last week, don't lose your wow. Because we need to always be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. You don't have to, you get to. And we have to understand we're going to drive this point home today, as we're serving one another, we actually are serving the Lord. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. Well, praise the Lord, I'm here. Just be glad I'm here, Pastor. I am glad you're here. Because I realize this, it's better than there or somewhere else. And if you keep coming, then that enthusiasm is going to be imparted into you. Because it's catching as you see it. There's the right contagion where there's enthusiastic people that's got smiles. And come on, that's all through from the time you get into the parking lot to the time you leave. Praise God. There's people with smiles and encouragement. They're coming up to you. Hear it all the time. You got a loving church, a friendly church. Why? Because we got enthusiastic people who serve the Lord. Keep your passion toward Him boiling hot. Well, Pastor Chris, I'm boiling hot at that person. What they did, they took my parking spot. My baby got bit in the nursery. And I took three diapers in. I came home with none. I don't understand it. No, yeah, I'm just.